We're Kath and Ellie. Welcome to our podcast, Brave, Strong and Fulfilled.
Join us as we share all things real life and the lessons we've learned along the way. We hope that our conversations inspire, challenge and encourage you on your own life journey. Enjoy today's episode. Well, Kath, I was at this really great local an event for business women, women in business, ladies in business, it's called. I should say what it is, Ladies in Business Townsville. And it was a fabulous event. We get together every couple of months and all the women come in and we just, you know, connect and network together. It's a lot of fun. And but what is interesting and why I raise this today is as I was talking with a lot of women, what is fascinating is how there's this common theme among us as women. Okay. That we are busy. That life is all go, 100%, so much going on. We're wearing a thousand different hats, and we just feel like we're scrambling all of the time. And as I was listening to people sort of share just a bit about their world and listening to that, I was just thinking, this is probably a good conversation for our podcast. So I'm wondering, is this something, as I say, being busy, as I say, feeling like we're wearing so many hats, does this resonate with you? Is this something you think would be a great conversation for today?
Absolutely. And as I hear you share, what's coming up for me is that I think it's become so the norm to be busy and to wear so many hats and to be so all over the show. That it's almost like so pervasive and so big that we just don't even see it anymore.
No, that's right.
Yeah, it's just so like there in everyone's face that it's just, we don't recognize it, we don't see it, we just accept it, we just live it. And so definitely a good conversation.
And we do normalize it, but we also talk about it a lot and nobody wants to be in it.
Yeah.
So if we don't want to be in this place of feeling overwhelmingly busy, yet there's a reality, right? There are seasons. And as a mom, so let's just think about this. If we're a woman in business, typically, you know, at some time in our life, we'll have children and business. We will have then children's sport. We'll have the whole just a school run in the middle of our day when we're working. Yeah. You know, there are a lot of things on our plate that we just can't stop and change. So the busyness is real.
Absolutely. Look, the busyness is real. And I think also, you know, that comment you made about we wear so many different hats. And I think if you were to ask any of these women, okay, so, you know, which hat can you take off and throw away? You're right. So many, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the answer to that is, well, we can't throw any away. Mm. Like, you can't just throw your mum hat away and just, I don't want this one today.
Really?
And if you're in business, you know, you wouldn't have a business if you suddenly decided, well, today I just don't feel like the business hat, so let me just throw that away. Yeah. So I think the reality is that we do, in seasons of life, there are seasons where we do wear many hats. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of those sort of tongue-in-cheek, but really true, actually, little memes or things that you pop up on social media about, you know, how God created women, you know, to be these fabulous creatures that have the capacity to wear all these different hats and be so busy and do all this. Mm. And so I think, are we able and capable? You know, absolutely we are. Mm. And I think it's not really about, well, I'm wondering if it's not, you know, what if it's not about the number of hats we're wearing? Mm. What if it's more about the story we're telling ourselves about the different hats that we're wearing?
Yeah.
And it's not uncommon for me in like coaching sessions with people to hear someone share something along the lines of, but I just want to be the best mum I can be. Or I just want to be the best, you know, so like wanting to be the best whatever, or live my best life. And the challenge with comments like that is, there's no end to that. You know, there's often, you know, when you ask somebody, okay, well, what does that mean for you? You know, what does living being the best mum, you can be, you know, mean. Yeah. And people often at that point will sit back and they'll like look at me as a like, what kind of a question is that? And, you know, when you start unpacking this, we get to realize that for so many of us, we haven't quantified what.
Yes.
And so it's almost like this infinite, it's infinite, you know, and with each thing we do often with the moms that are, you know, and the people that I tend to work with. So often when you do an amazing thing or reach an amazing thing, your eyes are already, you know, they're on that for such a short time, and then they're already on what's the next amazing thing I need to do, and then what's the next amazing thing, and the next thing. And so the narrative in our head is often one of, but I'm not being enough, I'm not doing enough, I'm not achieving enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that scrambling, like there's so much I want to do and be and have, and I'm just not being at all.
Yes.
So I think that's part of.
Absolutely. As I'm listening to you, so not having a measure. So I've, you know, if you said to me, Al, what's one of the most important things to you? It's being the best mum that I can be to the kids. And you've now hit the nail on the head right there. Okay, well, what does that look like? Does that mean I need to be available to the kids 24 hours a day? Like, what is the measure of being the best mum I can be to my kids? So I think that is absolutely worth unpacking. And the other thing that jumped out to me is how you're talking about, okay, well, what's the narrative?
Yeah.
That narrative. And you know what fascinates me? We have a constant narrative in our mind and it never stops. And sometimes, and this is what I've learned, particularly in the last few years on this journey, is that the narrative that we are telling ourselves is not always quite true. And so, and the narrative tends to loop. So the whole time it's looping, and the whole time it could be just not quite 100% true, we're creating this whole thought process in our mind, and it takes up a lot of space. It takes up a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And it might not be getting us where we need to go. So as you were unpacking, they're the two things. I reckon that's what we talk about today.
And I reckon that, that narrative in our head is often one that leaves us with the sense, you know, the thing that you're hearing people say, yeah. I'm so frazzled, I'm so busy, I'm all over the show. You know, yes, there is, reality is that life is busy and that there are many hats. But it would be so interesting to be able to sort of separate, yeah. I know this is not possible, but if it were possible to separate the story we're telling ourselves about everything,
yeah.
versus the actual reality of what's actually happening.
Yeah.
And I think so many of us are so, the notion of being so overwhelmed by it all.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that has to do because of the narrative.
Yes.
I mean, if I think about for my day, okay, yeah. I don't have children at home anymore. We're an empty nest. So that has taken a huge, you know, I still wear the mum hat.
Yes.
And
it's a different hat when they're an adult.
It's a different hat, and it's very still very hat. Noisy in my head.
It's still very big.
You know, especially when like last week our youngest had a car accident. And
oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, we won't go there today, but.
No.
What that takes up in emotional energy and yes. thoughts and mind space. And so they might not be at home, but they still take up
they do.
A fair bit of my space. But if I still, like, you know, and running a business and trying to figure out having relocated, repositioned the business and what that all looks like, and the, you know, current clients I'm working with and my role as a wife and, you know, does it look like trying to plug into a new community of people and a new church and all of that. But having said all that, I still have time in my day to swipe my phone, to play solitaire, to So I'm telling myself I'm so busy, life's so busy, it's so hectic, I can't, barely have time to breathe. And yet.
It's interesting.
And, you know, so, and I also realized, like, I was reading a book the other day, Steve Chandler, I just really, really love his stuff. And he was reading about how we had this notion of everything, you know, being a means to an end. So we're chasing the list of things we need to do and tick off.
That's right.
And while we're doing that, it's so funny how we rarely are present in the very thing we're doing, because we're always thinking a step ahead to,
yeah,
I've done this, what's the next thing?
Mm.
And kind of an example to explain what I'm trying to talk about, you know, while I was reading that, I was thinking about, yeah, that's exactly how I feel when I need to dry my hair.
Yeah.
Now, I've got long hair, you've got long hair, and drying my hair takes time.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, well, when I'm drying my hair, I'm often thinking, oh, this is, I could be doing something else at this
waste
time
of your time.
And, you know, and thinking about all the other things I can do. Mm. And yet I thought, you know what, at the end of the day, I still get to dry my hair. I get to, you know, live in a place where I do own a hair dryer. I've got electricity. I can dry my hair. And so I've started practicing. It sounds so like small, but just like your story of, you know, it just takes 5 minutes around the block.
Yes.
In our last, you know, a podcast from a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
If I can just decide that while I'm drying my hair, I'm going to have different thoughts. I'm going to slow down, gift myself those 5 minutes, because literally my hair's quite fine, so it takes 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Give myself those 5 minutes to, and yeah, where my hairdryer is plugged in, I've got a big window, so I can just spend that time gazing out the window and just enjoying the moment and watching the sky and the trees and the birds. And that feels very different. So, and I think if I can capture more of those moments.
Yeah.
I've started to ask myself this, like, what difference will that make to this feeling of I'm overwhelmed, I'm stressed, I'm wearing so many hats, I'm so busy, you know, because I'm actually, yes, I am.
Yeah.
But how I choose to be moment by moment can make a huge difference to how I'm
overall,
perceiving the overall feels. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting that you share that story, because I had a very similar story this week. I'd sort of realized that I was beginning my day not being thankful for the new day, not thanking God for for a brand new day and thanking God for my family. I would normally wake up and have this moment where I'm just thankful in the morning. That's what I do. And I realize, because of the puppy that I now have, that he wakes me up at some ridiculous hour and he has to go to the toilet. And so then when I take him out of the toilet, I just think about how tired I am, what I've got to do that day. And I just go straight into this whirlwind of looping thoughts, a story in my head going round and round and round. And as I was doing that the other morning, I looked up and I saw the sunrise and the sky was just beautiful. And I just went, oh my goodness, why am I not sitting here looking at the sunrise, being thankful for my day? Seriously, yeah. I'm wasting my time and energy trying to schedule in when I'm going to be thankful for the day.
Yes, yes.
You know, like, that's an extra bit of time. I feel like some of, and not to oversimplify, we have busy lives, and I don't want to take away, I don't want people listening going, oh yeah, but my life must be busier because that's not the answer to my problem. This isn't the answer, but this is somewhere to start. We waste a lot of energy with the story we tell ourselves, the narrative. I love that word that you use, the narrative, over and over. And I know it takes energy and it takes time, and we could be putting that story to good use.
Yeah.
And so that's been a much better morning the last few mornings after I've realized where I could schedule in my being thankful for the day part when I'm outside with the dog piddling on the grass saying, well done, Sully.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, you've just hit on something else there that I think potentially is another whole conversation. Mm. But this notion of and let's just use that as an example, scheduling in the need to be thankful versus a way of being that is simply a thankful way of to be.
Mm.
And so we can kind of, there's our to-do list. There's definitely, in a busy world with busy mums, busy business people, busy, you know, there is, and the to-do lists are endless.
Yeah. And they're important.
They, you know, often the important things on there are also endless. So there is that. And I think what we're hitting on here is this notion of how am I being while I'm attempting to wear all these hats and check off all my to-do list and navigating the busy.
Yeah.
So we can navigate the busy, and while we're doing that, we're being like highly strung and
telling ourselves how busy.
Two point fingers, like I've been there, I've done that. I'm not judging, but we can do this in a highly strung, supercharged, woe is me, I'm so busy, frenetic way. And yet, what coaching taught me, which was very confronting at the time, was that there is also a choice. Do the exact same thing. Like you've got the exact same number of hats you're wearing. You've got the exact same to-do list with the exact number of items off the to-do list. But how you're being while you're navigating all of that, it is possible to be in a place that I suppose is, what am I trying to say, is it's almost like being embraced by a kind of a grace and a calmness and a presence that just feels different. It's like a different embodiment to the whole busy, 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 crazy, crazy, crazy. I don't know. Does that make sense?
That makes, I'm peaceful sitting here because I'm imagining that makes a very big difference in one's day.
Yeah.
Because we still got to do what we got to do, but we can do it with a different thought process. We can do it with a different, grace. That's beautiful. I love that word, grace, a different grace for ourselves and for others around us.
Yeah. Because I think when I am in that space, I mean, if I think about it, if I'm in the space where I'm doing cray cray, busy, busy, so flushed, and one of my kids comes in and tells me that they've, you know, forgotten their lunchbox at school again, or, you know, forgot their jumper, or I get a phone call at work. I've just arrived at work saying, Mom, I forgot my sports stuff. I need to, if I'm in that crazy, crazy state, like I can so easily be grouchy and snappy and, you know, and just like stomp off. Woe is me and that whole victim thing.
And I'm going to teach him a lesson because he should have had his stuff organized. And
I've done that like, I don't know, a gazillion times before. However, if I'm in a different, if I'm sitting in that grace and calm space and I get the phone call, like how different is my response? And yes, I can still be on, you know, well, my son needs to learn that this is not the way to be. Mm-hmm. However, I'm not the next day regretting the words that came out of my mouth. Right.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I'm just reminded, as you're telling all those stories, I'm reminded of a really difficult morning that I had in the car park at school with one of my kids. So our youngest had a particular journey for a couple of years. My goodness, it was a hard couple of years, and with anxiety, and we didn't understand what was going on. And he was just coughing. And it was a particularly difficult thing at school. It was just, you know, luckily it was before COVID, because otherwise that would have been a whole new problem. But I remember, and I had a class, right? I was supposed to be in a maths class, and I was freaking out because I had to be in class. I had all of the planning in front of me. I didn't have it for whoever was going to be relief. And I was trying to talk to my boss. And then my boss is like, Al, it's fine. We've got it covered. And so I found out as well who was covering my class. So then I quickly texted him, and he's just this amazing teacher. And he's like, Al, I've got it. It doesn't matter that you don't have the planning. I'll come up with something. So I had two choices then. I can accept, or I could go on with, because the thoughts of feeling guilty, feeling bad about not being, you know, all of that. So our mind is amazing. It can keep telling the story. Oh my goodness, this is so stressful, because it was very stressful situation for me. Or I can listen. He's got it. Okay. Yeah. I can be present in this moment with my kid and work through what needs to be done. And that's two very different ways we can do life.
Yeah.
Present. And it's not always as simple as that. But I think
it's not, because I'm thinking, listening to you, it's sometimes for some weird reason, it's almost like we want to hang on to that crazy, guilty narrative. I don't know, you know, like.
Well, we should be doing all of these things.
Yes. No, exactly.
I should be able to take my kid to school. He'd go to the class and I go to my class. Yeah. Easy, done.
Yeah. Yeah. And yet life's not that straightforward.
It's not straightforward.
I read something the other day. It was lovely. It says, life is curly. Don't try to straighten it out. And this is the thing, is how do we navigate the curly of all the hats and all the busyness, but from a place of still having grace and, you know, kindness with ourselves and doing it sort of less stressed.
Yeah.
And so if you're listening to this and you're thinking, gosh, I don't even know where to begin with that.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I with all sort of, I don't know, all for coming from my heart, book yourself a coaching session, because this is what we're coaching.
It's what we
really do. My world.
Mm.
Because I definitely was so living in that space. And I think also because I was brought up in a culture, a performance culture, a lot of what we try and achieve and a lot of the busyness, I know for me, I was chasing performance as a means of significance.
Mm.
And so with the story you shared, you know, if I can't perform, like be in the class and teach like I'm supposed to teach, and I've got to hand that over to someone else, like that's taking away my sense of significance.
Mm.
And that's why sometimes it's so challenging to be able to let go and to go, oh, actually, thank you. And it's okay. Mm. And it doesn't mean I'm less of a person because I wasn't able to you know. So there was so much that I needed to unpack and become aware of and to work through. I can say, honestly, you know, being on the other side of it all, I'm so grateful I've done the journey because it's so liberating to be able to be in a place where you don't need to chase all the time. Mm. So I'm wondering, just in sharing this with you, I'm wondering how much of that busyness, it's also a case of giving ourselves permission to slow down, take those moments.
Mm.
Many of us have our significance tied up in all the busyness.
Yeah, and we can say that with grace and kindness, like because we've been there, we understand that, we know exactly what that looks and feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, it's almost like, you know, I've been there where on one hand you're holding, but I need to be busy because that's my significance. And I need to tell you how busy I am because that's my significance. But in the other hand, I'm holding, but I'm so exhausted and I don't want to be this busy. And it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
And it's like we're fighting with ourselves internally.
Absolutely. Yeah. And often we don't have that language around that. We don't realize it's because we feel significant, but we hang on tight.
Yeah.
Until we've had that realization why we're holding on so tightly. Reach out if you're listening and you're going, yeah, wow, I feel like I'm really, really busy. I'm wearing 1,000 hats. I want to unpack this further. What you said at the beginning, Kath, about the measure, what are we measuring ourselves against? Have we got a measure? You know, that needs to be unpacked, whether we do that in another conversation or so whether we unpack that in a coaching conversation with our listeners or whether we unpack it in another episode, that's, you know, we can have a chat about that later.
Let's unpack that in the next episode, perhaps, because I do remember when our coach trainer first started speaking about this notion of like, what's your measure? I was sitting going like, what are you even talking about? Like measure, like what am I measuring here? You know, I remember the concept being so far removed from what was in my frame.
Do you know what thing comes to mind? It's really inappropriate. How much wine am I measuring into my glass?
Exactly.
Is there a measure?
Is there a measure? Exactly. So let's talk about that next time.
Okay, sounds good. All right. Look, as always, it's been really refreshing to have a chat with you, Kath. Love it. I just know that anybody listening today will take something from what they've heard and reach out to our listeners if you want to talk about this further. So have a wonderful week.
Great. Thanks, Alan. I presume all our places to reach us is in the show notes, right?
Hands down. Always. Every week it's in the show notes. So yes.
Thanks.
All right.
See you next week.
See ya.